O God, we belong to you. So take our eyes and see through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our mouths and speak through them. Take our hearts and light them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. At midnight there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Imagine yourself standing inside a noisy and bustling building. You are standing by a set of doors through which hundreds of people have just walked, all of them moving with purpose in the same direction straight past you. It's been about 15 minutes or so that you have been standing there by the doors patiently waiting. There has been a steady stream of people who have disembarked throughout this time, having arrived in this place from all across the continent. You are at the airport, of course, and you are there to pick up someone about whom you care deeply, a good friend, someone who really knows you, someone who makes you laugh and makes you feel completely at ease, like you can just be yourself. Unfortunately, it's been quite some time since you've seen each other, too long, but this friend called to say that she is flying in for a visit. The arrival board reports that the flight is now at the gate, so you are looking carefully at each face as the people come through those doors. Finally, she walks through and she sees you and her face lights up. And right away, you feel it, that light of recognition, the power and the joy of reunion, the excitement of true human connection. Do you know that feeling? Can you recall it and imagine it? Even now, that amazing feeling of seeing someone whom you care about deeply, but whom you have not seen in a very long time. My friends, this is the feeling which the Apostle Paul wants to inspire in his beloved community in Thessalonica, because this feeling is the fruit, the true fruit of the parousia. Our two readings today from the first letter to the Thessalonians and from Matthew are remarkably linked in telling the same kind of story. Both deal directly with the return of Christ. How can that be a surprise? It's the same theme we discover every November in the lectionary cycles as we conclude the church year in the run-up to the start of our new year on the first Sunday of Advent. Every November we read about the apocalypse, the last things, the grand finale of salvation history. Now consider for a moment the background of this reading from Matthew. As we all know, the Lord Jesus teaches people by using objects which were very familiar to the common people around him. In this parable, he is speaking about a wedding, something very, very common to his listeners in his day. It's a bit more difficult for us, I think, because we do weddings and marriage quite differently in our culture. But in the Hebrew culture of his time, a man became betrothed to a woman when her family agreed to the suitor's proposal. Once the parties made an agreement, the two were then legally married, but they did not live together nor sleep together until the marriage was consummated in a wedding feast, a great wedding banquet. Once that feast was prepared, which could have taken perhaps up to a year to prepare, but once it was all ready, the groom went to retrieve his bride from her home. He brought her then to his own home, along with her family, where the feast was all prepared and ready to go. When everyone arrived, the feast began. Before too long, the bride and groom were then escorted to a private room to consummate the relationship, while the families continue to eat and to drink and to dance. That is the scenario to which Jesus refers in today's parable, which all of his listeners would have known. The bridegroom has gone to retrieve his bride, to bring her and her family back to his house to celebrate. No one knew precisely when the wedding party would return, so it was the job of the attendants, in this case the bridesmaids, to keep the lights on and to keep everything ready until they returned. What also makes this difficult for us to understand is that unlike our own, theirs is a society in which honor is the paramount value in every relationship. The groom has to put on a good show for his new bride and her family. Imagine what shame he would experience if they finally arrived at his home and all the lights had gone out and the fire was dead and the feast was not ready. That is what is at stake here in the parable, the honor of the groom. So what are the bridesmaids supposed to do? Be equipped and be ready throughout the day and throughout the night in order to protect the honor of the groom. Now, you may be surprised to know that the scenario in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians is actually very similar. He's writing to this very early community in Greece who are struggling with their understandings of death and the resurrection of Jesus and the afterlife and the Messiah. Do you know that this is the one and only passage of Scripture upon which the entire idea of the rapture is based? This is it. This is the only place when Paul speaks of being caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Those who preach about the rapture use this text, of course, as their primary text, but they are quite mistaken. The word rapture is not found anywhere here, nor is it found anywhere in the Bible. In fact, the idea of the rapture is not biblical in any sense whatsoever. It was not actually taught by any church until a few American preachers among the wild religious movements of the 19th century. Now, I know that the rapture is probably something that you do not think much about yourself, but it remains a very important idea in American society in general. Just this past summer, HBO released a new TV series based on the idea of the rapture, The Leftovers, about the sudden disappearance of a large number of people from the earth. But in the New Testament, the key Greek word in question is parousia, and it is typically translated as the coming or the appearance of the Lord. But in its most simplest meaning, parousia means presence. Do you know how the word was commonly used in the Roman Empire in Paul's day? Parousia was the coming of a king who arrives on a royal visit to a subject city. As the entourage of the king approaches, the citizens of the city were obliged to go out to meet him along the way. It was their duty, at times their privilege, to welcome their king and to escort him back into their city. How could they honor their king if they could not even be bothered to come out and to greet him on the way? Parousia is the coming of a bridegroom who returns to his home with his new bride and her family. As the bridegroom approached, the wedding attendants were obliged to protect the honor of the groom by going out all together to meet him. How could they honor the groom if they could not even keep the lights on for him, so that his new bride and her family came back to a warm and to a well-lit house? Parousia is the arrival of a dear friend whom you have not seen in a long time. As the flight approaches the airport, you drive there and you park in order to be sure to meet her as soon as she walks through those doors. How could you say that you value her friendship, that you honor her presence in your life, if you could not even make room in your busy schedule to meet her there at the airport? Now, what is the point of going out to meet the king on the way? What is the point of going out to greet the bridegroom as he arrives? What is the point of going to the airport to greet your friend as she disembarks from the plane? How did St. Paul conclude this passage? "And so we will be with the Lord forever." We will be with the Lord forever. The good news, the basis of our hope, is that we will be present with the Lord forever. So how do you and I remain alert and prepared to greet Christ and prepared to welcome him into our homes, into our cities, into our lives? Perhaps you've seen the call to honor that's in our new parish mission statement. If you haven't, it's printed right on the back of your Sunday bulletin. In this statement, we commit ourselves all together to do three basic things anytime we gather together as church: to celebrate, to honor, and to serve. Together, we are learning how to honor the presence of Christ in one another. My friends, it's as if we are at the airport waiting for our long-lost friend to walk through the doors, scanning each face for that glimpse of recognition. I do not know what kind of future historical event might take place which might make the presence, the physical presence of the Lord, manifest on our planet. I have no idea about that. But I do know that what matters most, what will enable all of us to be spiritually prepared for whatever comes, is to honor the parousia, to honor the presence of Christ right now in the face of every person you meet. My friends, can you wake up each day with that sense of anticipation, expecting to recognize the face of your friend, the Lord, in your spouse, in your children, in the face of your neighbor or your co-worker? Can you live each day with that sense of anticipation and expectation? I hope you can, because that is the way life is meant to be lived. Amen.